words, be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning we have the chance to reflect on part of Paul's letter to the Corinthians. As I'm sure you remember from many sermons on the Corinthians, Corinth was a very prosperous and wealthy city at the time of Christ. There were people of all sorts of different religious, political, economic backgrounds, a lot of cultural diversity in Corinth. And because there was so much wealth there, Paul spent a fair bit of time in Corinth because many of the people who supported him were the Corinthians. They also had a lot of contention in their midst. There was a lot of strife and infighting, not only in the religious community, which we have a sense of that today, people who feel like they were more aligned with Apollos versus Paul versus other sects of whatever religion, but certainly politically and economically, you know, people of different trades would be in conflict with each other. It was just a contentious place. Like Washington, D.C., I think. It just was in the air in Corinth. And you'll also remember that Paul, originally a rabbi, originally one of the great persecutors of Christians, is quite the fiery guy, with a lot of passion and love for Jesus once he was converted, and a deep sense of how following Christ can change the relationships, change the people of Corinth and elsewhere. What we see in this part of his first letter to the Corinthians, a deep frustration that he has with the Corinthians, that despite his many visits there, they continue to have this very conflicted, very tense relationship with each other. Last night at our Evensong, which was absolutely magnificent, and thank you to Doug and to our choristers and the choristers from St. Christopher's in Chatham who were here, I offered a little bit of a children's sermon, and I said to the kids, you know, in this letter, Paul could not be more insulting to the Corinthians. He basically is saying to them, you guys are a bunch of babies. What is wrong with you? I can only give you milk. I'm dying to give you the more spiritual food of Christ, but you can only handle milk. You can feel in his letter, throughout the letter to the Corinthians, this deep sense of, come on now, can't we do better than this? When I was talking with the children, I said, there's part of this letter that has always rubbed me the wrong way. In coming up with this strong exhortation against the Corinthians by basically saying to them, you're a bunch of children, I mean, to me that proves that he actually spent no time at all with children. Because the reality is, in my experience of watching kids who get into conflict with each other, they are far better at resolving it than adults are. Last night when I asked the children who were gathered, I said, so what happens when you're on the playground and you get in a fight with somebody? You know, of course, you always have to have the kid who says, I punch him in the nose and I give him a bloody nose and I go to the principal's office and I get in a lot of trouble. So that's one response to what we do when we get into conflicts with each other. But a lot of the other kids said, I just go my separate way, I just play something different, or if I'm on the swing and somebody else is on the swing and it's their turn, then I let them have their turn. When you watch children, young children, on the playground, there seems to be this regular, you know, rhythm of playing together, playing well, and then there's some altercation of some sort. Maybe somebody ends in tears, maybe a teacher is called for some help. But relatively quickly, they make their peace, and they go back to the game, whatever it was. Somebody after the 8 o'clock sermon was reminding me today that children also, they have to be taught how to hold grudges. They have to see what a lack of honesty looks like. And it might take the shape, you know, when I walk down the street with little Charlie and he sees somebody who's limping or, you know, has a disability in some way, he might say, "Hey, Henry, why do you walk like that?" Very open, very honest, very loving. He's curious and he wants to know. Adults don't do that. We train kids, don't ask, don't talk. That's something private. We don't say things like that. Even by the time kids are in middle school and high school, you know, talking with Sophie and Phoebe about, like, well, what happens now when your friends get into those ch-ch-ch-ch? Well, we all know the phenomenon of mean girls and bullies in school. I think all of us have had children or grandchildren or friends who have children and grandchildren whose loved ones have experienced a lot of difficulty when their friends turn on them, when somebody that was your best friend one day won't speak to you the next day, when you feel that you're excluded from the group. There is such pain for so many of our kids in middle school and in high school, because already at that point in our lives, we've lost the ability to be open. Say, "You hurt my feelings," to cry, to ask for help. And then, once the situation is addressed, to let it resolve naturally, to go back to playing, to go back to being friends. There's so much cyberbullying now when, you know, kids on Facebook or on Instagram are defriended or unliked or unfollowed, and the turmoil and the heartache and the pain that that causes is incredibly challenging for kids to learn to deal with. So I think if Paul actually had spent any time with children and saw that the infants and the toddlers and the young ones actually do the best at being open and honest with each other when they're in conflict, and asking for help resolving it, and then letting it go and moving back, he would have said to the Corinthians, "You bunch of adults, what's wrong with you? Why have you lost that primary innocence? Why have you let that deep love for God and for each other get driven out of your hearts and your lives?" In the sermon, the passage from the Sermon on the Mount this morning, when Jesus is continuing to instruct the people who are gathered about how to be his disciples, we're moving into the section of the reading where he's instructing more fully on the law and the place of the law in our lives. And he is pushing and pushing and pushing the people to see that it's not just about following the rules, but how do we inhabit, incarnate, take into our very being this law of love that God has given to us? How do we hold relationships and our friendships, our family relationships, as the most important thing that we seek to keep whole and reconciled, no matter what the momentary friction or conflict might be? The very next passages in Matthew's gospel are when Jesus begins his teaching on adultery and divorce. God cares foundationally and deeply about our human relationships and calls us back constantly to a life where those relationships are at the heart of the community. So that if here in church there's some kind of conflict, we have the courage to go to each other to say, "You've hurt my feelings. You've made me feel unwelcome. I don't like this." To listen, and then to let it go. Or in our families, or with our friends, or particularly around all of the political discord. How can we find a way to say to each other, "This is a very difficult time. My heart is aching for whatever reason it might be. but fundamentally I am committed to our relationship, to being here, to being connected to you, and to learning more about God and God's love through the process of letting these relationships reconcile and move forward into a new place of health and wholeness. I hope that you'll reflect on these readings this week and allow them to interrogate your heart. Where are there places that we are too adult? Where we need to be more like children? Drinking deeply from those places where we own our feelings authentically, are willing to be honest about them, and then are willing to let go of whatever conflict might be that is brewing in our lives. This isn't to say that you make yourself a doormat or you continue to be in abusive relationships, but that you're open and you're honest, you're willing to make whatever steps are necessary to bring reconciliation, and then you're willing to let it go and to move forward into a healthier, stronger state of being in whatever community it is that you're talking about. This is incredibly difficult work, but it is made so much easier if we can have the hearts and the minds of children who are willing to be open, who are willing to be loving, and most of all, who hold the fun and the joy and the connectedness of being on the playground with their friends more important than whatever the small momentary frictions might be. Amen. Amen. Amen.